Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 32 through 37. This is not the lectionary reading for this Sunday. This is a passage that I selected for this particular Sunday because this is the only miracle story of Jesus that appears in all four Gospels. The only one. And you'll recognize the words, but to me that says a lot. That those early Gospel writers said, if we're going to tell the story of Jesus, we have to include this story. Other stories, are kind of, some are in, some are out, but this had to be in there. So the question is, why? Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, but that they might faint on the way. The disciples said to him, where are we to get enough bread in the desert to feed so great a crowd? Jesus asked them, how many loaves have you? They said, seven and a few small fish. Then ordering the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the fish, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd, and all of them ate and were filled. And they took up the broken pieces left over, seven baskets full. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, it was a quarter century ago when I first stepped foot into the pulpit at Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church. It was June 27th, 1993. And I remember that day, vaguely, but I remember it. I remember standing in that pulpit, elevated, looking out across the sanctuary, and to my left, about where Mark Potraitz is, sat Gene Kennedy. And then behind Gene, a couple rows, and up against the center aisle, was Vivian Edwards. Back behind Vivian was Blanche Johnson. And maybe back a little bit further was Morris Moorfield. Back in the back, standing right in the center aisle, always standing it seemed, was Mr. Noah Hyder. Coming back up around the other side, in the back there, you had people like Bob Banker. Coming up further, you had like Christine and Kenneth House. You had Mary Best. You had Eveline Hall. Martha Gupton. All as you came forward. Then you got to this person sitting on the aisle just a few rows back, an amazing woman. Stunningly white hair, blue sparkling eyes. Anybody? Maddie Bell. Maddie Bell. Maddie Bell lived to be about 99 years and 51 weeks old. She lived in a little house right across the street from this church where those new houses now stand. A little one-bedroom house that was expanded into two bedrooms at some point. Tiny little place. And I remember meeting Maddie, and she said to me, she said, Jay, I don't want to live to be 100. I said, Maddie, you know, she was about 90 at this time. I said, Maddie, why don't you want to live to be 100? And she said, I don't want people pointing at me and saying, look at that little 100-year-old woman walking around here. She was amazing. And she lived over there up until the last 2 months of her life. Just amazing. Worked her garden. Amazing. She was there. And you moved over. You had all sorts of folks there that day. Alice Glasgow. Alice lived across Glendower in a little house on a big piece of land right there on the other corner. Maddie and Alice were sister-in-laws. Ms. Godwin. Always called her Ms. Godwin. Never called her Marguerite. Called her Ms. Godwin. And she lived to be right at 100. All these people were there on that first Sunday I walked into this church. Back behind me in the choir was Wayne Baker, Bobby Lou Bailey, Jenny Moorfield. All those folks I just named are gone. They're gone. But they were the heart of this church 25 years ago. They, along with Marilyn Kennedy, who's still in the choir, all these years. People like Libby Amos, Diane Banker, Jack and Nancy McGee, Gloria, Gloria Kimber back there, Betty Ann Starks, Bob would come along shortly, and young folks like Jeanette Haynes and Bill and Jenny Kresge, young Betty Pierce, Mike and Martha Brown, Deborah Horton, teenagers Todd and young Michelle Bateholz, Danny and Lucinda Sullivan and their toddlers, or really just one toddler and one baby at that time. And just on and on and on, you know, folks I remember. And we arrived here on that day, those folks I named, and others I'm sure I failed to name that are here with us this morning, they extended their church to Alana and to me. They extend their lives to us. And for that, we will always be grateful. On Tuesday, June 22nd, 1993, Alana and I moved into the parsonage of Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church at 6401 Pleasant Pines Drive, just right up around the corner here. That was nearly 25 years ago. 9,100 days ago. Plus leap years, got to add a few extra days. Anyway, where has that time gone? I don't know. I wish I knew. On the one hand, it's hard to believe that 25 years have come and gone because things haven't changed all that much. And when I say that, I mean, don't look around here right now. Keep it up until 5 months ago. Things hadn't changed that much. But I don't want to talk about that right now. I want you to think about outside this place. Just for a second. Go back 25 years if you can. Let me give you a few examples. This is hard to believe. No Target. I don't know what we did. No Target, no Lowe's, no Goodwill, no Raleigh Grand or whatever it is now. No Linwood Grill. No State Employees Credit Union over there. No Hilburn Apartments or Hilburn School. No Asagios, no McDonald's, no bank, whatever that bank is now, Wells Fargo. No Walgreens, no CVS, no Meineke, no tire store, none of that.
Lots of deer.
What?
Lots of deer.
Lots of deer running throughout. It was crazy. What has happened? All that. But some things have changed. Some things haven't changed. We're still here. But I want to talk about this. I want to talk about in here for just a moment. 25 years ago, we sang the same hymn. We sang that first Sunday. The same scripture. It's been the same scripture all these years. The doxology, Lord's Prayer, same thing. We break bread together. We share our joys and our concerns together still. It's just like when I walked in 1993, except for the holes in the ceiling. I really didn't think much about it, about the fact that the community was changing when they built the FedEx up on Glenwood Avenue, or when the new Home Comfort store came in, which I think now is closed and gone. They seem to be minor changes at the time. But as I look back, I think of all the minor changes that begin to add up over the past 25 years, and the cumulative effect is significant. Store here, apartment complex there, restaurant here, dry cleaners there. Not a big deal in and of themselves, but the big picture, startling. In June of 1993, we had one service here at Pleasant Grove. This service, the 11 o'clock service. And we had about 75 people in that service. We had a part-time church office administrator, Chelsea's mom, who had to sit out in the hallway because we didn't have an office. And we didn't have a preschool director because we didn't have a preschool. We had a youth group of about 10 strong that covered all ages. We had about 6 in the children's choir, and we didn't have a cherub choir. We typed our bulletin. Literally, we typed it. And then we ran off the copies on this little desktop copy, and we thought we had arrived because we had that. We typed everything because we didn't have a computer. The abacus had just been invented. And to show you how much things have changed across these past two decades, back in 1993, people would fall asleep in church. I know, it's hard to believe. Wake up, Kathy. Okay, good. Some things don't change. Anyway, let me ask you, do you ever have those moments in your life When your life comes to a complete, albeit temporary, standstill. Those moments in time when even the molecules of your body decide to take a rest. Those moments that afford you the opportunity to step out of yourself, turn around, look at yourself, and see what you have become. It's in those moments that we are given the gift of transitory enlightenment. Well, just about every June, for the last 25 years, I've been given that gift. And I'm left asking this question: how did I get here? I know you're asking the same question. How did he get here? Okay, anyway. How did I get to Pleasant Grove? And I don't know. But I can tell you that it was never part of my plan. You know, I never planned on being a pastor of a church. No. And I know that plans change. But the question is still big. How did I end up in a place here with you? What happened? Well, I can tell you what happened. Life happened. Has life ever happened to you? Yeah. In my moments of clarity, the words of the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John always come to my mind out of the blue, and they offer me simple wisdom. You know these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go. My dear friends, many of you have been part of my life and my family's life for an extended number of years. Some of you have endured 25 years with me. And you know the storms that have changed the course of our lives and altered our destination. And over the past quarter of a century, Lana and I have been carried places that neither of us would have chosen to go if we had been given the choice. But we weren't. We weren't given the choice. And that's the way it works. Life happens. It is the nature of life, and I submit to you that that's also the nature of discipleship. Friends, I don't know what I am doing here with you. I don't know how I got here, but I am here. And here has been proven to be a very sacred place for me, a place in which and through which the grace of God has been administered, where these words have come alive. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let me ask you, how did you get here? Well, that doesn't really matter, does it? Because you are here. You are here. Friends, life is hard. It's incredibly hard. And it takes you places you'd rather not go. The miracle of the chaos is that at this moment, our paths have merged. We have been drawn together to this place, and that has profound meaning. We are broken. Everyone in this room is broken. I submit that. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that everyone's life is a mess in its own way. And as I always like to say, some of us are just better at hiding the mess than others. None of us are where we thought we'd be at this point in our lives. Some of us are closer than others, but none of us have arrived at this point unscathed. We're limping, we're bruised, we're battered, and we've been carried to an unplanned destination. Here we are. And here, it is here that the false dichotomies of sacred and profane, religious and secular, individual and corporate are exposed to be just that, false. Our path is our path. And it has led us to this place, into the mess of each other's lives, into the darkness of each other's failures and tragedies and losses. But at the same time, into the light of each other's hopes and dreams. In short, here we have stumbled into God together. And we have attempted to make of this place a community where the radical hospitality of Jesus is lived out and grace is dispensed in abundance. In so doing, we have found life. How does that work? I don't know how that works. It just does. Jesus said to his disciples, give those folks something. We can't. We don't have enough. I don't care. Feed them. And they took up leftovers. If you want to tell a story about Jesus, you've got to include that story. That's a vision of the kingdom of God. It's about a table of abundance that never gives out and is offered to all. It's a story that calls the church's bluff. It's a story that rejects a gospel of scarcity and parsimony and calls for bold action on behalf of the body of Christ. In other words, the table is open. Come and eat. 25 years ago, you opened this table to Alana and to me. And over the past 2.5 decades, I have seen you open it to countless others. Your grace changed our lives and has changed the lives of many others. And it is my hope that in some small way, we have been able to further the mission and ministry of this community. But having said that, I don't want to spend a lot of time looking back. No. I want us to seize this moment, the eternal now, as we stand at the beginning of a new chapter in the life and ministry of this church, and try to find new ways, creative ways, to continue to be the conduit of grace. You remember the words of the prophet Isaiah? That was my first year. You've been living it for 175 years. Hear these words. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Friends, it has been a great first 25 years. It's now time to get started on the next 25. We've got lots more to do. So let's go. Thanks be to God. Amen.